الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. Dawah and Desert Storm, for me, was the greatest experience that I have ever had in the field of da'wah. And I've traveled to many different countries around the world, and I've been involved in many different da'wah programs. And I've seen cases of many people accepting Islam in large numbers, but none can surpass what I experienced, what I saw in Desert Storm. For those of you who, being born after Desert Storm, or who were kids at that time, the significance of it maybe is of little relevance, we could say, to you today. For the rest of the world, at that point in time, in 1991, it was a major incident in the Muslim world. It was a time where one of the Muslim, quote-unquote, Muslim rulers, the ruler of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, had invaded Kuwait, and there are a whole bunch of political issues behind it. Really, as it came up afterwards, it was with a green light from the US setting them up. But at any rate, they came in and took Kuwait, and what was to be expected was that Saudi Arabia would be next. They had the biggest military machine amongst all of the Arab states. He had been stockpiling weapons, developing weapons, etc. And he had what appeared to be something relatively invincible. Saudi Arabia didn't see themselves in a position to resist if Saddam Hussein decided to come in. And it turned to Uncle Sam and sought help. Of course, this is what Uncle Sam wanted, as it probably was just a part of the plan. You know, all of these things fall into place. They seem to happen one way, but there are other factors behind the scenes, hidden motives, all these other things happening. So it's quite conceivable that this was planned out much earlier. And Saudi Arabia decided to permit some 500,000 Americans to enter on Saudi soil, and remain there until the end of the operations to stop Saddam Hussein, roll back his war machine. Now, there were issues. Muslims split up over that decision. In fact, some of the leading scholars in Saudi Arabia who supported that decision, some extreme elements went so far as to declare them as kuffar, as disbelievers, because they made this ruling that it was permissible for American troops to come into Saudi Arabia, Muslim land, to fight against other Muslims. Of course, that position is false. It is one thing for you to say it was an error on their part, and another thing for you to take them out of Islam because of their ijtihad. That was an extreme view. But in any case, it found supporters, and Muslims were divided into two camps. Those who said, you know, this was darura, what else could they do? And those who said, regardless, they shouldn't have done it. At any rate, American troops poured into the eastern province, and they set up a base in Dammam, where they began maneuvers preparing for attacking the Iraqi war machine. When they first set up the camps there in Dammam, there was a sergeant by the name of Ali al-Shihri. He was outwardly like those who were so enamored with America and the West, like to hang around Americans and, you know, talk to them, be friends with them, etc. He used to go into their tents where they were stationed and hang out with them. Right? His English was poor, not very good. He was only a sergeant. But as he befriended them, he developed friendships with them. He then tried to get help to give da'wah to them. So his initial appearance as just somebody who, you know, loves Americans, you know, you guys are great, this, that, and the other. But his intention was da'wah. Now, if you saw him externally, you didn't know what he was doing, you'd say, hey, look at this munafiq. Look at him. These Americans are in, and look what he's doing. And this is why we have to, again, be very careful about how we judge people. You know. At any rate, this individual, Ali Shahri, he was familiar with American culture because in the military, he used to watch, you know, American movies, and he was smoking and hanging out, right? Until his brother, he had a brother who was a practicing, serious Muslim, you know. He was one way, his brother was another way. Then his brother had an accident, a car accident. And he was killed in this car accident. And Ali al-Shahri, when he went and saw his brother, you know, in that state from that car accident, his body burnt and everything, it just struck him. For some people, when you see something like that, if they don't have a spark of faith, then that sends them into total rejection of God. Because how is it God, who is good and wants people to be good, then he does that to this righteous individual? And look at me, I'm corrupt and everything, and I'm fine. There can't be a God. There's no rhyme or reason to all of this. See, that's one conclusion. And this happens to a lot of people when you talk to atheists. Many times you hear that there are incidents in their lives like this, where they see people who are seemingly good people, and then horrible things happen to them. You say, how? Can't be a God. But a person who has a spark of Iman, when they see that, what they see in it is death before their eyes. Death before their eyes. Because when he saw his brother's face, his face was calm. He could see light in that brother's face, in spite of the fact he was burnt up and everything, as if he could see a smile in his face. You know, it just struck him really deep. So deep, he turned his life upside down. He gave up all the stuff that he was doing. And of course, in the military, you know, when they travel and they go different parts of the world, they get training different places, they're exposed to Western systems, they end up in drugs and all kinds of stuff. He gave it all up. Started to study the Quran and, you know, change his life. So when he found that opportunity to reach out to the Americans, because he was familiar with American culture, you know, he had learned from the American movies that he saw, you know, some of the slang phrases, "What's happening, man?" You know, all this kind of stuff. So he had learned a few of those things. And of course, when they would say that to the Americans, they'd laugh, you know. You know. So they liked him. So he had that opportunity to get close to them. So once he started that process, of course, he could only go so far because his language wasn't enough to really get into any kind of deep discussion with them. So he tracked me down. I was living in Riyadh. He tracked me down and invited me to come up, right, and hang out with him, with his friends amongst the Americans. So I went up and we sat with a group of them that were curious. They wanted to ask some questions and get some kind of clarity on what they saw. Because initially, when they were coming from America, they were under the impression that they were going to be flying into the desert, and they'd be running into Bedouins on camels, you know. And they came in there, got out of the airport, and they saw Kentucky and, you know, Big Mac, and said, "What? It's a whole different situation." Wasn't what they expected at all. So they were quite curious, interested, wanted to ask, you know, some questions. So we started a course of discussion. And alhamdulillah, from that course, a few of them accepted Islam. And others amongst them, who were actually Muslims in the military who came, then we started to coordinate with them, provide literature for them that they could start to distribute it. So those people who initially went to Saudi Arabia to fight and kill Muslims, ended up themselves becoming Muslims, and ended up helping Muslims, to helping to protect Muslims from non-Muslims in Bosnia. And that is the wisdom of Allah. That something we see as something evil, those 500,000 Americans coming into Saudi Arabia, was initially something evil. But from it, and this is the greatness of Allah, He can take from it great good. Not to say in the end that I'm saying it's good, yeah, bring Americans into your countries. No, I'm not saying that. Right? I'm not saying it was a good thing to bring them, you know, to decide to bring them. If it were left up to me, I would have said no. We'd fight it out. Whatever Muslims want to support us, we fight. You know. But that was the decision made. That was the fatwa. And they followed it. Decision was made. And in the end, it ended up being something very positive for Muslims. Because from that, I started working with the Air Force headquarters in Riyadh. And we set up da'wah centers in all of the military bases across Saudi Arabia. So every military base you go into Saudi Arabia today, you'll find a da'wah center. And some officers who are keen on da'wah will be there. They'll have some, you know, non-commissioned officers working in there. And they're involved in giving da'wah to the non-Muslims that are working, that are remain in the country today. So, Allahu Akbar. Allah has this in store for us. This is something which, though it was unique for me, it can happen anywhere at any time. If Muslims are ready to do what is necessary to convey this message. And this is the responsibility that lies on all of us. Here in Whitechapel, where Muslims have concentrated, it is very important for us to learn how to give da'wah and to convey the message of Islam to the society around us. Those people who were involved in that da'wah effort, which produced this great result, they were not specifically trained da'is. Among them were those who had knowledge, and among them were those who had limited amounts of knowledge. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Balighu anni walau aya," convey whatever you've learned from me, even if it's only a verse from the Quran. So this is a responsibility for all of us. And this is what iEra is all about. This whole program here is to develop an organized and systematic approach to da'wah in the UK and elsewhere. That if we want to do it effectively, although on one hand, each and every one of us has the individual responsibility and we should do it. Whatever opportunity presents itself, we should do it. But on the other hand, as Allah said, وَلْتَقُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً, that there should be from amongst you a group who would call the people to righteousness and prohibit the evil. That it should be most effectively done in an organized way. So iEra is an attempt to give solid, systematic organization to the process of da'wah in North America. And this is why we call on you, you know, to give us your full support. Because if you can't do it, at least help us to do it. You know, there are people here who are ready, who are committed, but we need your help. We need your support. This has to be a cooperative effort. Whether it is financial, whether it's intellectual, using what skills you have to share with us, whether it's dua, we need your help. And that's what this whole program is all about. And that's the message which comes from the da'wah in Desert Storm. Support came, and we were able to do it. Persistence. Ali al-Shahri, when he first began, he was told actually by some officers, don't go into these areas. Stay away from the camps of the Americans. But he could keep going. And they put him in jail. 2-3 times. You know? And when they were going to hold him for a stretch of time, he had the word sent to Sheikh bin Baz, and Sheikh bin Baz said, let him out. They let him out. But he was persistent. With the little knowledge that he had, but the care and the love for wanting to share the message of Islam to others kept him on the job. And he is the one person out of all of that who got the greatest reward. Imagine that. He, one man who didn't even know English properly, ended up being the catalyst for over 3,000 people accepting Islam, and that number multiplying itself over the years to come. One man. And this is the example of the good sunnah. That when you do it, you get the reward of all who follow you. So I pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all the guidance, the hidayah, to take from this message a lesson regarding the role that each and every one of you has to play in giving the da'wah. And I pray that He motivates you to give, to support and to promote this effort from IRA, from this center here to the whole of London, to the whole of the UK. We need to get back the momentum, bring it back through Dawah. Barakallahu feekum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.